This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. I'm here today with my oldest child of four.
Yes, Shelley Brim Oaks here.
Don't tell them how old you are. Now, here we go. I have to hurry fast before she tells you. You might think I can't believe I have a child that old. But here we go. This is chapter 18 of Matthew. We're talking about angels and the appearance of angels and the facts of angels. And here's one thing the Lord Jesus said. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Now, going on down in that chapter, verse 10, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones," speaking of the children, "for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Now the Lord Jesus Christ said to Brother Hagin in a vision, "You have angels assigned to you as children," the Bible says so, "and you don't lose your angels just because you grow up." So we have with us guardian angels and angels all of our lives. Now, this said to not despise one of these little ones, for their angels do always behold the face of the Father. Shelley was talking earlier before the broadcast about another account of her husband, Bob Oak, seeing an angel. Tell this one, Shelley.
Well, he and I were asked to minister in a particular church, and we were escorted to the front row, and music was being played while the other congregation members were being seated. And as the music was playing, there was a little girl. I would say she was probably between 5 and 7 years of age, beautiful little girl, and her dress, and I remember she had a long bow in the back of her dress, and she was dancing and going back and forth, just forgetting about the audience, forgetting about anyone except she was just praising God and walking back, running, skipping back and forth and worshiping, dancing. And an usher got up and he corrected her and told her to go to her seat. And she did for a while, but the music continued and she was inspired and got back up again and continued where she left off, dancing before the Lord. And the usher got up, and at that second time, he really got onto her. And so she went and sat down. But my husband, Bob, at that time, he looked at me, and these two tears just were falling down his cheeks. And he said, "Shelley, I've been watching an angel dancing and with this little girl right behind her, worshiping the Lord with this little girl. And that usher, what makes me sad is the usher could not discern the difference between a little girl just playing and a little girl who's really worshiping." And
so we all need to become more aware of that realm. It's the unseen realm where things are true just like God said they're true.
They're true.
Angels are there just like God said they are there. Angels, children often, and we have accounts in our family of children seeing them in worship. My granddaughter Kwaitsi, who's now 19, when she was about 3 or 4 years old, she was in church, I was preaching, and I looked back there and saw her. She climbed up on her daddy's shoulder. She's a little bitty thing. She's still a little bitty thing. And she crawled up her daddy's shoulder and onto his head. She was trying to stand on the top of his head to see better. And till this day, you can ask her and she can explain to you that there was an angel up on the side of me, standing beside me while I preached. And I know, too, that you said that Kylie, when she was little, at her Uncle David's church.
Oh, yes. I had told her that I never had seen an angel. And so she thought at that time that was strange. So that night after church, as we were opening the door, she said, "Mom, wasn't that nice to see the angel there at the front? I mean, like as if he wasn't in the back of the church, at least I got a good look at him." And I said, "Kylie, I didn't see him." Oh, she stomped her foot. She said, "How could you miss him? He was there by the piano. He was playing his instrument." I said, "He was?" "Yes. And every time Uncle David played the piano, the angel would play with him. And when Uncle David stopped playing the piano, the angel stopped playing."
See, angels are at church. They're always with you. They're everywhere, but they also go to church. And when you worship, they worship. And from time to time, God opens the eyes. This is a story that my mother always kept in her Bible. I traveled around the world and went for 10 years to Soviet Russia. during the days when the KGB, I call them the KGB days. And my mom and dad, I only had one sister, and she went to be with the Lord at only the age of 42 years old. So I was their only child left here on the earth. And I was just going to the KGB, going to Russia, running from the KGB, going to Israel, going to the places where the bombers were. But my mother didn't worry, but she kept a copy of Oliver Lindbergh's June 1986 newsletter in her Bible. Now, when we were going to the Soviet Union, it was the 80s. And she used it for reference whenever I was on a ministry trip. This is one of the stories in our magazine this month. She said, "I read about the angel who protects her, and I never worry about Billy." Considering the angel Oliver Lindbergh saw brought comfort and relief from the temptations to worry that the enemy tried to bring against my parents' mind. Starting in 1980, I was part of this ministry team, which traveled regularly to the then Soviet Union. Mother kept this. Now, this is Oliver Lindbergh's. I just reprinted in my magazine what Oliver Lindbergh saw. And we got a recent picture of Oliver and Ulla Lindbergh. And it was their job during the Soviet days. We would get Brother Hagin's books into print. And he was one of the ones that had Operation Smuggling. And he would get them in by the carloads. He would get them in through diplomats. So he was quite a minister during those Cold War days. So this is Oliver Lindbergh's article in his newsletter. God's angels help us. Just what the Bible says. In the Bible, we are frequently informed that angels surround us in order to help us. Let me illustrate this by telling you about an experience I had in Mobile, Alabama, in January 1986. Ulla and I were invited to a missionary conference to participate in our capacity as missionaries to the Eastern Bloc countries. Upon arrival, Ulla and I were informed that we were scheduled to do a live TV show that evening. This made it impossible for us to attend the opening meeting, but we arrived at the end of the service. In order not to disturb the preacher, and my mother has written out to the side on this newsletter, "Billy, God bless our daughter." She's letting it know that's Billy. He said, in order not to disturb this preacher, he didn't say who it was, but the preacher was me, Billy Brim. We took our seats in the back part of the church. The speaker was inviting people to salvation. Suddenly, I saw a 20-meter tall angel. Now, I should have transmitted this over into feet, but I'm told I think that that's about 20 feet. I saw a 6-meter tall angel standing behind the speaker. The angel held his wings around the preacher as if he wanted to protect her. In the next moment, I saw the angel standing with his hands and arms on a big golden sword. The sword was glittering. The vision lasted about half a minute. My whole body shook, and I asked Ulla, "Did you see the angel?" Ulla said later, and this is my aside to you, "He was speaking Swenglish. He was mixing up his Swedish and his English." And she said, "I could hardly understand him." He said, "Did you see the angel?" She had not. But she saw on my face, and remember this is Oliver writing, she saw on my face that something had happened. I shared it with her, and we could both meet with and feel the obvious presence of God. After the meeting, when I shared my experience, two people turned toward me and said they had had the same vision. One of those was Lucy McKee. Afterwards, I meditated over my vision and asked God for an explanation of why he had shown an angel to me. The Lord gave his answer and said, quote, "All those of my children who have made up their minds to be at my disposal in the spiritual battle have a fighting angel like this for personal protection. The task for this angel is to fight for and guard my servants." This message from the Lord has been a great joy and advantage for us, partly as a family and partly for all of us in the ministry. In the first place, I'm thinking of the 100,000 Russian New Testaments which we brought last May. That's Oliver talking. With exception of a small part, they've all been delivered. In this case, God's angels have been in full action, helping our coworkers to bring in thousands of New Testaments. And of course, they took in for us as well, Brother Hagin's books. My mother now is with the Lord in heaven. And I'm just wondering if she has met this warring angel. I'm sure she has thanked him personally, giving all the glory to God, of course. And you know, a mother took a great solace in that, and I took great solace in that, that wherever I go, now Gloria likes what the Lord told Oliver. All my children who have made up their minds to be at my disposal in the spiritual battle have a fighting angel like this for personal protection. The task for this angel is to fight for and guard my servants. So that's our guardian angels. We have them to guard over us, to protect us. And I know that many of you out there have an angel account. Why don't you send me those? If you really, truly have had an account of an angel appearing to you, might be a guardian angel, might be a messenger angel. I remember one night at camp meeting, Brother Hagin was speaking, and I probably should look this up and read it to you, but he saw two angels, and one of them, now Shelley helped me with the names, the names were given to him, Michelini and Micanini, I think. And the Lord said to him, one of them is your messenger angel, and one of them is your guardian angel. Mm-hmm. And remember, Jesus said, their angels are always before the face of my Father in heaven. So right there, wherever you are, if you're in your car, you're in your house, if you're you're listening on internet, there's an angel with you. Probably you don't see him, but he's probably been with you all your life. And tomorrow I'm going to tell you about my husband's story. I was going to tell it today, but we ran short on time. But I'll tell it tomorrow about Kent's guardian angel and how he sensed when that angel's presence left him, how lonely he was. You're probably very accustomed in your life to one angel or two or however many aid and assist you. The Bible tells us that they are sent to minister for those who are the heirs of salvation. And so I read today this story of Oliver Lindbergh, and you might want to send for this so you can get what God told him about his servants and how these angels helped them. Imagine a 20-foot-high angel. You can call us at 1-800-972-3447 and just request. We'll send you a free copy of The Glory Watch with angel stories. They're taken from a book I'm writing for Strang Publications. You can also go to billybrim.org. That's billybrim.org. And there you can listen to all the radio broadcasts if you missed one of them. And this is Billy Brim and Shelley Brim Oak saying shalom.
Shalom.
Until tomorrow.